driving. I remember years ago when I'd be driving the highway, I just started really driving, and I'd look down and there's somebody driving down the road, got their knee up on the steering wheel, and they're reading a book. Time out. You are stupid. Or better yet, earbuds. You can't hear what's going on. Mine are noise canceling. They shut off all the sounds. You can listen to one. But, you know, that's my soapbox for that. But I shut my phone down. And I was like, God, you will bring up what it is. I woke up. I knew what scripture I was going to be looking at. I knew where I was going. I thought, I'm going to have this whole big, long scripture thing of scriptures and all that stuff about deceit, and I'm going to go back. And every one of them I talked about. You remember last week we talked about justice and twisted, perverted scales and ephahs and weights and measures? Well, most of them deal with that exact thing. And I was like, okay. Well, I don't know. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. So this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 32, verse 2. Or you can read right here. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Deceit is trickery, usually for personal gain. That's the simplest way we can put it. It's practiced. And by the way, you probably, if you own a pet, you probably do practice deceit. How many of you have ever put their heartworm pill or their other pills in peanut butter, meat, or anything else and tried to get your dog to take it? And dogs are particular. I think I've never had a cat, but dogs are particularly smart about that. They're like, something's wrong. I don't usually get that. And so they spit the pill out. Somehow, I mean, my dog, he gets something, he woofs it down. I mean, it's not like he's sitting there chewing on it like I do. Oh boy, this is good. That was half a steak. But yet, when you're trying to deceive your dog, he seems to know. So yes, we all at some point have practiced some sort of trickery to get a personal gain. Well, it's for him. No, you just don't want to deal with the problems. Well, it is for him. Again, you don't want to have to deal with it. So you tried to practice deceit. Anything we've ever had to give Remy, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I could take him now, but you know, he's quite the hoss. But he's bullheaded. I used to be able to just put it in there and put him up until he swallowed. Yeah, anymore, he's got a neck that's, his head is smaller than his neck. So that's a little hard. But deceit. Let's look at this. First off, blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity. Let me get in here in my Bible. Okay. So let's understand. Okay, now if we went, I didn't have them put one in here, but it says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Okay? Transgression means rebellion. I know it's wrong, but I'm still going to do it. That's what rebellion is. Well, I'm not rebellious. Yes, you are. We are all that way. We come naturally rebellious. Well, I don't rebel against, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, you rebel against the speed limit. Yes, I do. I'm not going to lie about it. I do 5 over. But that is still rebellion. Well, see, I'm not like that. I can promise if I were to examine your life, I will find. When I first became an NCO in the Marine Corps, I had to learn to become an NCO. I now had to take a step over. Before, I was the guy who was always being judged. The guy who was always standing there, what are they going to find? And inevitably, they would find something. So when I became an NCO, I had to become like the person who inspected me. Corporal Waddell, come check our room. Make sure Gunny, we're good for tomorrow. I come in and look around. Oh, everything looks good. And because I knew this particular gunnery sergeant would do this, I stuck my hand up under their lamp and ran it across the top of their light bulb. Dust on your light bulb. You're kidding. I said, nope, I've been busted. That's how I know. And once I started doing that, we never failed an inspection. They had to really get stupid. So, and sin. Sin is missing the mark. Wasn't something you intended to do, but you did it. Okay, you lost your temper. Most of us don't intend to do that, do we? We try hard, but we miss it. You know what's great? Is when we miss it, we repent. I had somebody who felt they missed the mark. And they came to me and said, I need to apologize for the way I acted. I said, what do you mean? And they explained, and I said, I took nothing from it. But they knew they had missed the mark. I took nothing from that. So that's repentance. So when you repent, it truly means you didn't mean to do that. But God called you on it. Let me get back in here. Iniquity. Iniquity is moral depravity. It means your compass does not point north. See, our moral compasses should point towards God, but yours may be pointing a little bit more off. You might be a little more north, northeast. But I'm close enough, but yet you're not on the mark. Well, I see where they did it in the Bible. Understand something. The Bible is sometimes a historical reference so that you can see it didn't work out for them. And so, deceit. So then there's also deceit. Sins are forgiven, literally, lifted away, covered and not imputed, literally, erased from the record so that the spirit of man is totally righteous in God's eyes. See, God doesn't charge us with anything. There's a man in the Bible called Nathanael. 1 John chapter 1:43. I'll get it out. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law. These aren't educated people, but they knew the law and they knew they had found the one that the law and the prophets spoke of. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, this was a mentality. It wasn't the first time people think that. And if you've written little side notes in mind, said he wasn't being mean. Yes, he was. The problem is we look at the Bible and we read it sterile, free of human emotion, free of personalities. Peter was a little overbearing. John maybe been a little bit touchy. Paul, most of us wouldn't have got along with Paul. Paul could be a jerk. Some of you may have been good friends with him. Who knows? But we take that out of the equation when we're reading it. It's sterile. It is, everybody was perfect. No, there's only one person that our Bible ever speaks about who is perfect. And that's Jesus Christ. But yet we tend to look at Paul. Paul, you were never married. How do you know what it's like to live with a woman? You live with a woman and you tell me. Tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. Catholic Church, they messed up a long time ago. They tried to give marriage counseling. None of you know what you're talking about. It's two personalities trying to meld to become one. And if you don't butt heads, it means somebody's a steamroller. You got to meld. Like Brenda was saying this morning, you got to have a sense of humor. And sometimes we kind of mellow out a little bit. We get older. Can anything come good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed. That's the title of today's message. Behold, an Israelite indeed. In whom is no deceit. It's interesting, isn't it? He hasn't even spoke to Nathanael yet. He looks at him and says, now there's an Israelite indeed. There's no deceit in him. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Isn't that a little egotistical? Again, remember to read it like they're human beings, that they're real people. Jesus had to have a sense of humor. What Nathanael said was, can anything good come out of West Virginia? That's what he said in our vernacular. Can anything good come out of Kentucky? Pennsylvania? Can anything good come out of those hills? Well, most of us. I love what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Snap. He knew I was under the tree. Nobody was there. How did you know I was under the fig tree? It was about the 10th hour, so he's maybe taking a nap. What, 4 o'clock? Jesus snapped back. See, he also knew what Nathanael had said. Because it wasn't an uncommon thing. Just like being called a redneck or a hillbilly is not supposed to be a good thing. I won't say I take pride, but I don't shy away from it. All a redneck meant was somebody who worked hard. And a hillbilly is somebody that can survive in an environment that most people die. That's what these people are. And that's the way they felt about them. Plus, they also believed that there was a garrison of Roman soldiers that were encamped outside of Nazareth. So they didn't think anything good was coming from there. Nazareth wasn't real big. It was just a village. But yet, Jesus was judged by this man because of where he came from. He also said, isn't he supposed to come from another town? Well, he was born there. See, I'm a Buckeye now. I'm a worthless nut. That's what a Buckeye is. You can't eat it. You tell me which side's poisonous. Yeah, sure. I was born in Kanawha County, West Virginia. Charleston, St. Thomas Hospital. But, actually it's Thomas Memorial. So that's the attitude that these people picked up. Got a little religious. But Jesus said, here's an Israelite indeed. Some of the narratives I've read about this statement, an Israelite indeed. Man, he was a true son of Jacob is how they put it. And some of, if you got a different version of the Bible, it may read like that. But it says, a true son of Jacob. Remember why God changed Jacob's name? Do you remember what Jacob means? Supplanter, deceiver. So if he was actually saying that, he was saying, I read your mail. But if he said Israelite, if that's how it's to be properly, and I believe it is, it means one who prevails with God. One who wrestles with God. Or a prince of God. But what Jesus was doing was letting him know, I know what you said. I saw you. He may have also seen Nathanael praying. Well, brother, don't you know they always went to the temple to pray? No, they didn't. Jesus said, you got a Pharisee over here on this side of the street. He's making sure everybody knows he's praying. Got his prayer shawl on. He's got his beads and all this stuff going on. And he's over there and he said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this sinner over here. And the sinner over here is like, Lord, please be merciful to me. They're on the street. So anybody that's ever told you you can't pray while you're driving, they lie. You can't pray in the bank, they lie. Pray in the shower. Good time to do it. You're not going anywhere, and usually your mind's focused on one thing. Pray. Talk to God. I don't want God to see me naked. Really? You know, he created you that way, right? And he doesn't see the clothing. So, he could have been praying. But his heart was pure, because that's why Jesus said, a man, let me back this up, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael's heart was pure. He was not practicing something to gain a position. He wasn't seeking to be a disciple of the Messiah. He was praying for deliverance for Israel, for his country, for his brothers and sisters. See, all too many times people want positions because they want more authority. Be honest with you, the first time I find out somebody's after that, you're the last person I call on. I've had people in here, oh, brother, if you ever need anybody to give words, I got the gift of prophecy. That's good. So do I. And that's why you will come to me if you get a word for somebody in this body. And we will go talk to them. And if they do not receive it, by the way, they're not here anymore. And I don't care. Because they haven't stayed at any one church for any given time. I know where they're at. I know what they're doing. And I do not take any kind of pride. But there's one thing I told God. I'm the watchdog. I've been in churches that got split apart, tore apart by ravenous wolves who came in with a gift of prophecy. And we're gonna prophesy. I don't care if you can prophesy. All it means is speak the word of God. That's what prophets did. And most times it wasn't, Lord, they're going to get blessed. Hallelujah. By the way, that's a trick. That's just a breathing trick. But boy, we get wrapped up in it, don't we? Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. No, you keep your old-time religion. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I started realizing what God did. There's been times I've prayed for things. I remember praying for something one time. It was happening in your life, in one of your daughter's lives. And I began praying for something, and God showed me right up here what was going on. And she said, how did you know about that? I said, God told me up here. See, I pray what God tells me to pray. So if it sounds like I just went, then that's God. I prayed for one couple one time to have for specific things for an apartment. They said, Pastor, everything you prayed, and then some. We declared life over your nephew, right? One of them was in a motorcycle. They called the family in. Everybody went up to say goodbye. Was it 2 days later? He walked out. Why? Because we dared to pray. We dared to declare the word of God. And so when Jesus was speaking to him, he's like, I'm just let you know, I know what you said. How do you know me? He knew what he said. Were you hiding behind that fig tree? How did you know what I said? Seriously, do you think it's the first time Jesus has been told that? I've been called a redneck. I've been called a hillbilly. I've been called a crayon eater. I take them all with a grain of salt. Crayons are terrible. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. See, Peter wasn't the first one. But you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Is that why you believe? Is that why you believe? It's because I saw something. You believe because God, my Father, showed me you under that tree. And I heard your prayers. And I heard what you said. You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You remember another scenario like angels ascending and descending? It's called Jacob's ladder. Israel. The man whose name was changed from deceiver to one who prevails with God. He said, you're going to see me become the ladder. I will make the connection between heaven and earth. I will restore the connection between man and my Father. And you're going to get to see it. See, what Nathanael and these other disciples saw was phenomenal. That's why Jesus told Peter, he said, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Nathanael and Peter both declared him to be the Son of God. But Nathanael's was because of something he did. Peter's was because of something the Father showed him. The revelation, yes. The revelation of who he was. And when you have that revelation, you will take it to your grave. See, I believe most people that do not have a true revelation of who God is, they're the ones who struggle. I want my children to always walk in the admonitions of the Lord, but they may have to struggle with their walk. I can't walk their walk. I can pray for them in their walk. Because I've been there. I knew God, and I walked away. So I pray for them. And I rejoice when I see them kind of struggle. You're a sicko. I think we established that years ago. But the reality is, I know my sons. Because I know their Heavenly Father, who knew me, who knew that I would struggle, who knew what was inside. That what he did was he helped me put to death one mentality of who I was. Something insignificant. And he raised me up to be one of the world's finest. And he said, okay, we got that established. You truly do believe it. Now, what I need you to do is have mercy. Something you weren't taught. You have to have compassion. I didn't want to see people get hurt. Really don't. It was more, I really was more of a peacekeeper. But, hey, can we all just get along, right? That's what we all want. Well, sometimes you got to be ready to kick a little, right? Well, God let me do that. But then he said, now you got to teach people. Give them the mercy that I gave you, that I still give you. Because I had some deep-seated ideas. Theologies that I created on my own, they aren't biblical. Just like people go out and teach that, oh, Nathanael was an upright individual and Jesus had no sense of humor. I can show you several times where I believe Jesus was cracking a joke. I can show you where Jesus lost his cool with his disciples. Remember the end of the Last Supper? Jesus said, let's go. And he said, you know, before I told you when you go out, take no money, take no extra clothes, don't take a sword. But now I tell you when you go out, take money, take clothes, and take a sword. By the way, in the time of Israel at this particular point, anybody who was not a Roman citizen was not allowed to carry a sword. Peter jumps out, we got two. Peter's a fisherman. Where did he get them? From this guy named Simon the Zealot. Zealots killed Roman citizens, particularly soldiers. So there may have been blood on those two. And Jesus said, enough. Oh, no, that's not how Jesus would have said it. Enough of that, boys. You kidding me? He said enough that I'm pretty sure they all had to stop and pull their skirts back up. Whatever they called those back then. They're not kilts. Okay, Jesus. It's stupid. We get it. He had had enough. That's why he was agitated when they were trying to pray. He's like, can't you just hang with me a little bit, guys? Oh, what did we do? We taught a whole doctrine on you have to pray for an hour. Why? Is it what I just declared the word of God? And if it is, why do I need to take an hour to explain it? Now, if God moves on me and I'm praying, then it's however long it is. Because usually I'm interceding for somebody. But just like today, we didn't have to pray for an hour. A couple minutes. We give that up. Why? Because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not the house of prosperity. Not the house of religiosity. Not the house of cowardice. But a house of prayer. I pray for the country that flag represents. Because it's not the flag that is doing the wrong. It is leaders. It is people who will not answer the call. It is people who refuse to open their mouths. And I love the ones that sit back in the shadows and say, I'm ready. I got my battle gun. Do you know why the regular armies never trusted the militias? You know why? Because they were cowards. You have to discipline courage. When the first bullet goes over your head, yeah, the game just changed. I remember the first time we did this assault course. It's live ammo. Except the guys that were behind me, I went to boot camp with. Some of them were terrible. And I got to run in front of them. And they got to run in front of me. You got to run, drop down behind this log, and then shoot over their heads with live bullets. I was a little nerve-wracked. I was like, thank you, Jesus, we all got out of there alive. Because at that kind of range, it's not going to be good. But Jesus did not impute this sin to him. Because he turned around and he said, but there is no deceit in you. He was just letting him know, I know you, Nathaniel. But I'm not imputing sin to you. See, God doesn't impute our sin to us. We are not what we've done. Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, I may not have, I didn't do that. Listen, you need to understand, sin is sin. All Adam and Eve did was ate an apple. Think about it. The reality of their sin that unleashed all of this. Man chose at that point to seek sensual things, things for our flesh, things that make us feel good. Well, I don't have, you know, I don't get it either. Why is one person got a chain to sexual addiction? One's got the drugs. Another has the alcohol. Another may have to pleasing people. Another has for being the smartest person in the room. This one may be the most talented. Well, I got to prove it all the time. Those are chains that hold us back. from achieving what God wants. Or we get comfortable with being the dumbest person in the room. I know when I was in school, I didn't ever want to try because somebody called me dumb. I know the answer, but if you think I'm putting my hand in the air, you're crazy. And I sat on my hands. I wouldn't raise my hand, even though I knew the answer. Later on, God started moving and helping me through that and to see that I'm not as dumb as I think I am. We went to the Columbus Zoo one time. I think which boys we had. I think it was just Justin and Jesse. And we're going through the primate exhibits. And we got somebody doing a little tour through there. And they said, you know, what's the difference between a monkey and an ape? Well, thanks to VeggieTales, I knew. If it's got a tail, it's a monkey. And that's exactly what I said. She says, you're right. And I wasn't answering her. I was just doing what usually got me in trouble in school. I said it without raising my hand. I was like, look at that. VeggieTales does good. I don't care what the devil's telling you you are. Jesus didn't impugn any sin to Nathanael. He didn't charge him with anything. Okay, so you're a smart aleck like me. I come from a long line of them. But I've learned when to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes that's why the Bible tells us any man who can contain the tongue, he is righteous, he is his religion. It really builds a guy up who can control his mouth. Why? Because we let things fly that we didn't mean to. We're like, that was stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Lord, please let him forget what I said. Don't practice deceit. Don't try to deceive people to get what you want. If God has something for you, he gives it to you. But if you're trying to deceive to get to it, then that's wrong. Because God considers deceit the same as unbalanced scales. It's an abomination to him. And there's only so many things in the Bible he calls an abomination. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't need to swear. Some denominations, well, we don't take oaths. Well, that's good. I took an oath to that flag, which represents all of you. But you know what? Even if I hadn't, I think I'd still do. I just thank God I have knowledge on the other hand now. So let God help you through everything. He'll lead you. You just got to trust him. Nathanael may have been, like I said, we don't know what he was praying. He may have been sitting there praying for the Messiah to be revealed. And in the next breath, he's meeting the Messiah. He's getting the revelation. And I'm sure by the time Jesus ascended, he was pretty sure. All right, let's stand. When the Bible says, blessed is the man, it means happy, to be envied. Happy to be envied. Because your joy, it's just hard to contain. Doesn't mean you're not going to have, that you're always going to be walking on sunshine, right? You're going to have days where you just don't feel it. But you know what? The devil can't come and say to you, God's got this against you. No, he doesn't. Because when Jesus came and I received his forgiveness, I'm the blessed one now. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God, for your mercy. Lord, we can never thank you enough for that. Lord, I thank you that that mercy frees us. Lord, help us all to grasp hold of it, to understand your mercy and your goodness. Move in our lives, Father. And now, Lord God, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord, I really do. Bless them as they go in, bless them as they go out. Cause their businesses to prosper, whether they own it or somebody else does. Move miraculously in their lives and bring heaven and earth to witness in their lives that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.